Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the regular Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. Sitting across from me is the other head on this two-headed monstrosity. Say hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
My name is Joe.
You sound really cute.
Hey. My name is Joe Patrick.
That was weird.
Yeah. This is the answer of the week.
Okay.
Well, I mean, what more do you want from me? I'm at Joe Patrick 116 on the Twitter.
Joe Patrick, what exactly is your job on this show?
Moral support.
No. I mean, like the thing that makes this show happen.
You know, editor in chief, I'd say.
There's something specific I'm looking for here.
CFO.
I need you to explain why your job is important. Otherwise, I have to let you go.
I'm the guy that like posts and tabulates all the questions
That's
and answers.
Right. You post.
I'm the head questioneer.
The head questioneer. You post the question on the Two-Headed Nerd forums every Sunday. It's been up there for a while. You guys wrote in to answer it. And now we're going to do just that.
Yeah, we are.
You can send your answers via email in the form of an MP3 to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. It's got to be 2 minutes or under, or you can call us at 402-819-4894 and leave us a message. You'll get cut off after 2 minutes. So 2 minutes it is, and 2 minutes it ever shall be.
Really quick, our first caller of this particular week came from D, who had some questions about how we do things. I just want to say real quick to D, because we will forget to email him back.
Yes, it's true.
He suggested that we host the audio files for calls that go over 2 minutes on the forums.
Can't do it.
I don't actually think that there is a technical way for us to do that.
We'd have to like link it
in the forum software.
Yeah, we'd have to link it elsewhere and stuff.
We'd have to like maybe upload them to YouTube or something.
And they all get played on here. We just cut them off.
And it's not that we don't play them. Yeah. We just cut off like the last 30 seconds is all. So I promise you that we are not missing out on anybody's last second insightful wisdom.
And we will not be rewarding you for breaking the rules.
That's right. But I do appreciate what he said about wanting to hear people elaborate, and he appreciates what people have to say, even if they go over time.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, D.
Speaking of D. He had the question of the week for the third time in a row. It's a Goocher.
Yes, but that's not this question.
That's not this question.
This question is his second question.
This is D's second time in a row. Will he get the Goocher status?
I wonder what will happen.
We'll have to see. I don't know. Joe Patrick, what's the question of the week?
This particular question was, what is your favorite shady organization in comics? We're talking your Shields, your Arguses, your AIMS, your Hydras.
Clandestine agencies.
Super science.
Sure.
I said super science twice.
You did.
Super spy, super science,
well, cults,
et
would they count too? Yeah, cults would count.
Look, they're, I'm just saying that somebody may have called in with an answer I wasn't expecting that was not about a super spy agency.
I see. Before we get into it, let's introduce the cocktail of the week. This is what we drink to ease us through all the crappy answers we get from you guys. I'm kidding. They're all great.
JK.
We just need an excuse to drink. We're calling this one the Secret Asian Man Martini after one of our favorite ex-SHIELD agents and members of...
And the Agents of Atlas.
The Agents of Atlas, Mr. Jimmy Woo. It is an Asian gin martini with just a little bit of lime juice and a mysterious splash of Angostura bitters. Could it be poison? I don't know. We'll find out.
Probably.
Of course, it is shaken and not stirred.
As it should be.
Celsius. Ooh, that's pretty. Boozy Boozerton.
That is Boozy Boozerton. Mm. That is an unexpected flavor profile.
I like it. Let's get right into it. Oh. We start with the phone line. I'm not sure who it is. Let's find out.
It might be Jeff Head.
Could be. I haven't heard from Jeff Head for a little bit.
Hey guys, Jeff Hitt. Glad that you're back. I was calling in to answer the question of favorite shady comics organization. And this is great because I meant to call the other week when you did favorite most humorous character in comics, because actually my answer to this one is one and the same. So my favorite shady organization is actually the Agents of Hate, and specifically run by Dirk Anger. Out of the Next Wave comic, I think probably my favorite Marvel comic of the last decade or two. Obviously, you know, they are secretly run by the very group that they ostensibly are out to stop, which is the Beyond Corporation. Dirk Enger and all of his incarnations, regular Nick Fury ripoff, Walking Dead, zombie Dirk Enger, all of it. I love it. The fighting broccoli guys, Fing Fang Foom, all the while trying to capture their
the West Side Story mindless ones.
Next wave team. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. People who haven't read it should. People who read it and don't like it don't deserve to call themselves comic fans. So boom. Welcome back, guys. Great questions since you've been. I'll talk to you again.
Jeff Hitt talking. I love it.
It just now occurred to me that Jonathan Hickman stole this idea from Warren Ellis for his Secret Warriors series, which revealed that S.H.I.E.L.D. was secretly a front for Hydra.
Yeah.
And then they put it in the main Marvel Cinematic Universe with Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
There you go.
So thank you, Warren Ellis, for the 10 plus years of wonderful mainstream comic book entertainment. Next Wave. Wonderful. One of my favorite books.
Oh, yeah. So great.
This is how great Next Wave was. It was the sort of book that got so much attention and acclaim that the artist, Stuart Immonen, was called up to a major high-profile superhero assignment and no longer do the book, and they ended it.
Yeah. They were just like, well, I think, and Ellis was like, well, I don't want to do it with anybody else.
Yeah, why would you?
Yeah. And I think Immonen was like, I don't want to hand it to anyone else.
So, yep. He went on to do Ultimate Spider-Man and then later
died.
He died.
Yeah. He was crushed by one of those car crushers. It's really weird because they don't even move very fast. I don't know how it happened.
It was like that scene in Austin Powers with the steamroller. R.I.P. Stuart Immonen.
Too bad.
Well, that was fun. Who's next?
Okay. We're going to leave it there. All right. Cool. Paul Tatro is next. Tatro's become a regular. I really like this.
That's Troy.
Joe and Matt. This is Paul Tatro, the Paul T-A-T-R-O on the Twitter. My answer to the question of the week this week is, doesn't have an acronym, but I hope it fits the criteria of being super sciencey organization. So my answer is the Team of Superhuman Archaeologists of the Impossible Planetary. Written by Warren Ellis and John Cassidy back in the late 90s. Planetary opened up limitless possibilities in the sci-fi superhero genre of exploring a fictional Earth's past. And it was everything I loved from sci-fi and superheroes rolled into one. It was multi-dimensional exploration, bizarre monsters, powerful ancient artifacts, investigation of strange phenomenon, and Planetary was also one of the first comics that I read in college where I really started to pay attention to creators on books, so Warren Ellis became one of my favorites. And every issue of Planetary was a nerdgasm of awesomeness. It had Godzilla and Tarzan and Sherlock Holmes, JLA, FF, Hulk and Thor, A Touch of the X-Files. It was Fringe before Fringe was a TV show, and it was the very best of the Fantastic Four if the FF were ever to delve into the mature reader label. And I'd love to have this type of book back again. Later, nerds.
Okay, new rule. I'm throwing this out there for everybody. If you're going to call in and use a song or emails for the song, either include it in your email so we can put it on the soundtrack for the THN Answer of the Week, which you can follow on Spotify. So everybody can figure out what it is. Because I like that song. I don't know what it is.
It's a good song.
Yeah. So new rule. If you're going to use music, let's make sure it's credited. We don't want to get sued. You got that? I loved Planetary. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
It's so good.
I'm a huge Warren Ellis guy. Planetary is one of my top three favorite Warren Ellis stories.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's number one, number two, or number three, but it's in there.
It's really number two, if you ask me.
What's your number one?
That means poop.
Oh, come on. I thought you were saying you had a definite number one. You know what? My favorite is Stormwatch, Change or Die. That's still my favorite Warren Ellis.
story. Stormwatch is really good, but I think I prefer Planetary, to be honest.
Oh, Change or Die was so cool. And it was just like everything I loved about Wildstorm universe falling apart. It was so good. Thank you, Paul Tatro, whose name autocorrects to Tart.
Oh, I was hoping it would be Tater.
Nope. Tart. Tater, not a word.
242 on the Warren Ellis.
Yeah. Let's see if Jimmy Randall. See if they love Warren Ellis down in Australia. What do you think?
Yeah, could be.
G'day, Joe. G'day, Matt. This is Jimmy Randall calling again with my answer to the question of the week. So, favorite clandestine organization in comics? Well, lately, I have just been devouring the IDW Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series, so my answer is hands down the Foot Clan. I just really love their mix of, like, really old-school mystical ninja stuff coming forward in, you know, dealing with the ooze and mutagens and all the scientific stuff. It's a really good blend there. There was a really awesome spin-off series, The Secret History of the Foot Clan, that sort of goes deeper into the relationship between General Krang and Shredder. Goes way back further than any of us ever thought. And there was just a particularly cool scene. I won't go into spoilers here, but when Shredder and Krang have a bit of a chat on Shredder's aircraft carrier out in the international waters, and it ends pretty cool. So, yeah, lots of shady ninja stuff going on. It's just an absolute treat to read, and I highly recommend it. So, yeah, Jimmy out.
Foot Clan's a good answer.
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't even think about groups of ninjas and stuff. I didn't even think of that for some reason.
Clandestine.
Yeah, extremely.
Shady.
They're ninjas, man.
Organization.
Yeah. I guess by definition,
they're all. It's all right there.
Yeah. Rocksteady and Bebop. Shady guys.
So that is an abrupt end to the Warren Ellis love fest.
Yes, that was that. Oh, well, they don't love him in Australia. What can you do?
I mean, they probably love him.
I don't think they do. Judging by that call, they don't.
Maybe he's not even welcome in Australia.
Ooh.
Just think of that.
He's English. Brits and the English, they butt heads, man.
Yikes.
Let's go to Jeffrey Ketchumall, our favorite Pokemaster. Reluctant Pokemaster.
Greetings, two-headed nerd. This is your reticent Poketrainer, JD Gotta Ketchumall, who's neither trained nor pokied much of anything. Regardless, I'm emailing in my answer of the week. When I think of a covert or evil organization, I immediately think to Warren Ellis and the right highest back. Anti-terrorism effort with the wonderful Nick Fury pastiche, Dirk Anger, with their wonderful weapons like the Armageddon Horn, homicide crabs, drop bears. Really, who can deny drop bears? But that's what immediately came to my mind. But another more insidious evil organization in comics came to mind. And I'm sure most of you can agree with me. It's Diamond. Later, nerds.
Two votes for Agents of Hate.
Oh, boy. I see what he did there.
Two votes for Agents of Hate.
Yeah, it's
That's
fun.
Great.
Super good.
Again, go read it. It's a lovely book. There's a reason why more than one of you guys called in with that answer. They're smart guys. Back to the voicemail. It's a quick one. We like quick.
Hey, honey, it's me.
Hey, Mr.
I was thinking about what we talked about the other day, and another one popped into my head. It's called the Highest Anti-Terrorism Effort.
This is amazing.
And the acronym is HATE. They're probably my favorite secret organization. Mainly because who doesn't love an organization run by a man that wears a dress? The incredible Dirk Anger.
He's an angry guy.
All right, well, that's all. I'll talk to you later. Love you.
Probably my favorite Machine Man, too. Love you, too, sweetie.
Yeah. Machine Man in that book is wonderful.
Probably the last time we've seen Machine Man.
No. He's been around.
Has he?
He was in Ms. Marvel after that.
Oh, okay.
And the Carol Danvers Ms. Marvel before she became Captain Marvel.
Okay.
He's been around.
Just reinforcing what everyone's been saying. Here's another short one from the voicemail.
Damn. I like them when they're short.
I do too.
Nah, let's see what we got here. Soda.
Stony D.
Stony D. All right. How's it going, guys? Called in with an answer of the week. I know I called before, but you guys can X-Nay that phone call. My answer for you going to be Cadmus. Anyone but Amanda Waller. You can't go wrong with that, can you? Sorry, Sony D's been gone for a while, dude. He's back now. He may be calling in some MP3s. Got a lot of moving situation going on. All I gotta say is, don't worry about it, dude. I got it taken care of. Take it easy.
Stony D.
In case you didn't quite make that out, because he did call in over the voicemail and it was a little crackly, Project Cadmus is his answer. The Jack Kirby creation from the old Jimmy Olsen comics of the 70s.
Yeah.
Later revived in the Superman books by the guys that kind of inherited the books from John Byrne post-crisis. So your Dan Jurgens and your Roger Stern.
It was that long before they came back.
We're talking like...
It was called Project Cadmus at that point, though, right?
We're talking like mid-70s to mid-80s, okay. So it's not like it was decades.
All right.
But
it was a decade.
I don't know how much of a presence they had in the Superman titles after Jack Kirby kind of quit doing them. So, yeah, they invented the Underworlders, which is essentially the Morlocks.
Yeah.
They were involved. They were tangentially involved with a race of tree city dwelling super hippies called the Harrys.
They were awesome.
They drove around in a whiz wagon. Yeah. That's the Newsboy Legion drove around in the whiz wagon.
No, Big Bear was a new guy.
You're thinking of the Forever People.
Yeah, he was a Forever person.
Project Cadmus. They're known for cloning. They are who created the 90s era Superboy.
Oh yeah.
And,
clandestine as heck.
Yeah. They cloned, the Golden Age hero, the Guardian, who the blue and yellow, Guardian. I love the Guardian too. I love Project Cadmus D. That is a great answer. Hey, welcome back, buddy. I hope your move went well.
Stony D.
It's Anthony.
It's Anthony Curly residing in Brooklyn. This guy doesn't hang out with shady characters.
Sub nerds, Anthony Frazining in Brooklyn here, and my favorite shady organization is the Atlas Foundation from Marvel Comics. This is a group that is hell-bent on world domination, and their leadership can trace their lineage back to Genghis Khan, which actually really isn't that big a deal, considering that one in every 200 men living today has like traces of Genghis Khan's DNA. It's true.
The guy likes
and
the
bone. That is your frightening fact for the day. Anyway, three reasons why I love the Atlas Foundation. I love the wackadoo plans they have for world domination. They, of course, build, weapons of mass destruction, crazy robots, but they've got things like, a botany lab that grows man-eating plants, or an orphanage where they're harvesting, evil telekinetic children. They've got a record company. The Atlas Record Company has subliminal messages convincing you to simply buy more of your music. However, a small population of that record-buying public voluntarily goes and reports to the Atlas Mining Company, where they, live under slave-like conditions for manual labor. There you go. I also love the leader's main advisor is a thousands-year-old dragon named Mr. Lao. So Mr. Lao is a dragon who will advise the leader on what they should be doing to, further the domination of the world. And Mr. Lao is also your retirement plan. See, as the leader of the Atlas Foundation, when you are done with your job and you find your successor, Mr. Lao will eat you, which is a retirement plan.
Yeah, but well,
funny for me to read. And then the main reason is I love the strike team of the Atlas Foundation, which are the Agents of Atlas. The comic was awesome. Agents of Atlas was a great comic. Great, great series. I loved it. In addition to just being a great, diverse, interesting super team, they were characters that genuinely cared about each other and had great adventures, and it was a joy to read. So that's my answer. Thank you. Bye.
We love Agents of Atlas, too, so much so that we named a drink after him.
That's right.
Awesome. Great answer.
It's pretty delicious. It's not like the sort of thing that I would normally go for.
Yeah.
I'm really liking it.
Yeah. I'm digging it, too. Jimmy Woo and the Agents of Atlas. Pick up that last run. Who was that wrote that?
Oh, Jeff Parker, I believe,
created
the concept of the Agents of Atlas.
Yeah. Man, that book was great.
Leonard Kirk worked on it.
They flew around in an old 1950s flying saucer.
Marvel boy who was from Uranus.
Yeah.
Well, he's a human being that was raised on Uranus, and
not that Marvel boy, a different Marvel boy,
and not that Uranus.
Yes. Not that anus, you mean? Not your anus.
Not your anus.
Anus.
Uranus.
Anus. Anus. Welcome to Anus Cast. Jesus.
Anyways.
That devolved fast.
It was an old timey.
Oh, it was so great. Saucer. Gorilla Man was there. I love Gorilla Man.
Yeah.
Oh.
His name is Kenny.
Let's go to Jimmy Kettner. Hopefully he can lift the tone a little bit.
Anus.
After a visit.
Hey, Joe and Matt. Kettner here.
After a visit to your anus.
Hey, Joe and Matt. Kettner here. Well, guys, based on some of my previous answers, it probably doesn't come as too much of a surprise that my favorite secret organization in comics are the Invisibles. I know the weirder side of Morrison's comics output sometimes gets put on blast, but for me, this is the ultimate comic series that plays in the world of clandestine top secret strangeness. They're based on the actual Rosicrucian Order, also known as the Invisible College, and the comic series is infused with so much lore from real world conspiracy theories and secret orders. You know, it's got secret societies, UFOs, James Bond, The Prisoner, Michael Moorcock, and H.P. Lovecraft, all in a blender. And they even get their share of super science, as one major plot involves creating a time machine, which is pretty cool. And I gotta say, one of the things I love the most about the Invisibles as a group is that it approaches some of these top secret tropes that we're all familiar with from the other end of the political spectrum. Because, look, I love spy stories as much as the next guy, but when put into a slightly more realistic context, I don't exactly relish the idea of CIA hit squads. So the Invisibles really allows lefties of different stripes to let their imaginations run wild with the top secret genre. And instead of the rigid hierarchies that we see in organizations like SHIELD or Checkmate, we have these different self-sufficient cells of highly adept anarchist operatives. And maybe that's what I love the most about it, sort of flipping that trope and making James Bond into King Mob. Anyways, guys, that's my pick. If you want to hear more from me, you can check out my podcasts, Adult Crash and Galacticus, which just came back for a fifth season with our State of the Batman address. And you can always check out my comics and illustrations at kettner.com. Thanks, guys.
Okay, again, I reiterate. Tell us what the song is so we can put it on soundtrack.
He didn't get that memo because you just said it in the episode. Yeah.
But normally he does in his email.
The only thing I can offer about the Invisibles is that I struggled with it so much that I didn't make it through the first trade.
I love the Invisibles. I love, love, love the Invisibles. It was so weird. It was Grant Morrison at his weirdest. So good.
Yeah.
I got a big sexy Invisibles hardcover right over here. Really, yeah, really, really good stuff.
I heard you. It took three tries to get it in undamaged. Due to the hellmouth underneath the Olive Branch, Tennessee warehouse of Diamond Comics.
Yes. It is definitely that Grant Morrison that is not for everyone.
It might be Olive Branch, Mississippi.
I think you're right.
But regardless.
Same place. It's not for everyone because it does. I like Grant Morrison when he gets all seven soldiers crazy. I'm into that. I think it's fun. Totally wackadoo. And this was definitely an extension of Grant Morrison doing a shit of drugs and writing a really weird comic book. So if you want to get funky and kind of British, you can't go wrong with Invisibles. If not, read some other stuff. You know, read Grant Morrison's Batman Incorporated. It was great. A little more straightforward. You'll have fun with it.
Super great.
Yeah. Thank you, Ketnerd. Always good to hear from you, buddy. Love the Invisibles. Haven't thought about that for too long. Hey, we haven't heard from this dude for a little bit. He sends us an MP3 titled Ninjas! Exclamation point.
Hey, Twitter nerd. Favorite comic book group? It's got to be The Hand. I tried to think of something else, but no, gotta love the ninjas. Thanks, guys.
It's a good thing we told everybody it was Tim, because he did not introduce himself. Thank you, Tim. I do love The Hand. I've always loved The Hand. The Hand has always been cool. They got a little weird for a bit there, but then they brought The Hand came back. Let's go up to Maine. Check in with the Orca. He's done clamming for the day. Decided to come over. Shoot us an MP3.
Orca here. As I get older, I'm 92 now for any new listeners, I find myself appreciating comic books and characters that are more grounded in reality and being less interested in the superheroes or even their foes. Steranko's Shield was my baby when I was just a 50-year-old whippersnapper, But as much as I appreciate his art, I can't help but chuckle at the bright-colored AIM agents now. When I was a spry 75, I was really into the hand and ninjas and all that, but I've since matured. And the book that helped me to grow into my age was Global Frequency. I know I've talked about this book before, but it's appropriate for this week, too. I want to be a member of this real-life agency so bad. Every day I check the App Store for a Global Frequency app. There's got to be one, right? They don't still carry those Zach Morris-sized cell phones like they did in the first 12 issues, do they? Be pretty tough to be clandestine with those, wouldn't it? I want to join up and offer my unique skill set. Show me another sniper who can hit a baby deer at 300 yards with a musket. Or someone with my expertise of setting bear traps at night while riding side saddle on Articat 1100 snow machine. Ah, I'll cover the whole northern half of the state for the frequency. Sign me up, Ms. Zero. You won't be sorry. Kiss, kiss, boys.
Wow. Hanging off an Arctic snowcat and setting bear traps. That's impressive.
I believe he could do it.
He's a 92-year-old man that drops Zach Morris. Jokes.
Look, he's nothing if not up to date on pop culture trends.
Yeah, of the 90s. Whatever. That's a great answer. Warren Ellis is dominating this week. Apparently, if you're going to write about super secret agents, Warren Ellis, place to go. Hey, check this out. Joe, it's a girl.
What? Prove it.
Hey there, nerds. Amy ND here. Just responding to my call out from the last episode. Joe's right. I've just been busy. There is some stuff to do in North Dakota, or at least some stuff that has to be done. But I went on hiatus for a while, took a break from comics, played with some balls, you know, like you do.
Anyway, we've all been there.
I'm dusting off the cobwebs here to share my answer real quick. It's my lunch hour. It's Friday afternoon, right under the radar as usual. So hopefully I'm answering the right question here, but my favorite shady organization is the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. They're the best. They don't have a cool acronym like AIM or SHIELD, but they put it right there on Front Street. They're like, hey, we're evil. Yep. Bad guys right here. Pretty sure someone should assemble the Avengers because we're a bunch of criminals right here in the same place. Come get us. Which is kind of weird because most bad guys don't really think they're bad guys, especially like Magneto. I mean, he definitely thinks his cause is righteous, not evil. So the fact that he would join the evil mutants sort of doesn't make sense. But anyway, these guys are just like, nope, hell no, we're evil. I know in recent times they've been just the Brotherhood of Mutants without that evil bit, but still kind of cracks me up every time I think about it. I wish I could have been in that planning meeting. What do we call ourselves? Well, we're mutants and we do bad shit, so evil mutants? How about the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants? That sounds way more legit.
Nailed it.
Love it. Done. Meeting adjourned.
Print it on a t-shirt.
It's almost too bad that, you know, like Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers didn't run with the same idea. Just get together, call themselves the Society of Serial Killers, because that would have saved a lot of time for the people in those movies trying to figure out who's murdering all the teenagers in town.
The SSK.
Anyway, until next time, nerds. Going back to hiatus. Keep it real. Real evil.
She brings up a valid point. When you put the name evil in your organization,
yeah,
how do you find funding? I mean, like, who is it? Like, I'm sorry, maybe your accountant sit down and be like, I just wanted to, real quick, we're going through your tax returns. You donated $2 million to a group called the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Well, maybe they were maybe they were self-funded.
You're like, even ISIS doesn't have the word evil in their name.
Maybe they were self-funded. I mean, Destiny could see the future. You know, maybe she...
I suppose. Just be like, the Packers are going to win this Sunday. Ugh. They made like, some... All right, put it all on the Packers.
Like, you think Mystique isn't loaded? I would have said that the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants was more of a team than a shady organization. They did eventually become Freedom Force, which were actual government operatives.
That's true. That's true. They were sort of like reverse Thunderbolts. They were bad guys pretending to be good guys, but they were really bad guys.
They weren't pretending to be good. They were just bad guys working for the government.
They were just bad guys. Okay. Amy Batter.
I like that answer.
I like it too. It's very interesting. Let's go to Bozo himself.
Hey guys, ABK from Bozo here with my answer to the question of the week. Who's my favorite super secret slash spy slash weird agency? The answer is Global Frequency. Warren Ellis killed it with this 12-issue series. I loved every single page. There was one particular issue, I want to say 4 or 6, that dealt with magic. And they retold a story about Aleister Crowley demonstrating how real magic was to his friend on a London street. It was amazing. So, short, simple this week. That's my answer, guys. Thanks very much. Hope you have a good one.
It's all over but the crying. Warren Ellis has got this tied up.
He just ran away with it.
The story he's talking about is, I remember this issue, it was so cool. This guy talking about practical magic, magic in the real world, and explaining how it works to his buddy. And he's talking about how Aleister Crowley could follow a person and mimic their footsteps behind them, basically walking at the same time. And then Crowley would make slip with one foot and the person in front of him would fall down. It was so cool. Yikes.
Creepy.
Yeah. Oh, man. Global Frequency was so, so good.
Yeah, that's a really good book. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Go to twoheadednerd.com, click on our Amazon button, order Global Frequency right now. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and
wonderful.
You can dig deep in the archives. If you do a search, perhaps Alec Baldwin will know. There was an episode of the Two-Headed Nerd where the esteemed Keith Silva guest hosted with me while Matt was on tour.
Yes.
And we did take a look at It's in a Book and reviewed Global Frequency, the complete edition.
Keith has since passed and we miss him. Keith? Man, it's too soon. Too soon, buddy.
That's not true. For those of you keeping track of facts, Keith Silva is very much alive. I don't even know if he still listens to the show. This will be his test.
Till we hear from him again, he's dead to me.
I like to drop random Keith Silva references in the show from time to time.
That's why
I
just come out.
Just to see if he's paying attention.
And say that people died, so they'll call him and be like, I'm not dead!
So if I don't ever hear from him about this, we'll know that he stopped listening to the show.
I just remember saying something really nice at his funeral. I can't remember how it went. I know there were tears. It wasn't a dry eye in the house. Let's get this done, shall we? Oh, wait a minute. This is something else. Yeah.
No, that was the final call.
Oh, that was the final call.
Bozo was the final caller.
This is something from Chikara Pro Wrestling. What?
Yeah.
Guest French podcast. Absolutely. I love Chikara.
And then you can contact him.
Yeah. It's really cool because like they do like superhero wrestling themes and stuff.
Black Scorpion was all up on that, right?
And then I started looking at their videos on YouTube. It's crazy.
Speaking of Black Scorpion, the three, we've been back for a number of weeks now and we have yet to hear from him.
Yeah.
And I know that he's alive because he's on the forums.
Okay.
And he's sending me stuff on Twitter.
Where the hell BS the three?
Yeah. You know you're out there. Yeah. You know that you had an answer to
what
these
the
last
crap,
two questions.
Man. All right.
Come back to us, Black Scorpion.
I miss you, buddy. Let's pick our favorite.
My favorite is D, Stony D, Cadmus. I love Cadmus.
I'm going with Anthony currently presiding in Brooklyn because the Agents of Atlas was going to be my answer.
It can still be your answer,
Matt.
Nah,
I'm going to revert to my other answer.
I can't believe it was going to be your answer over the one that I am considering. So you go right on ahead and tell me what it is.
No, now I need to know yours.
No, you go.
No.
I have a backup, so you go ahead.
I want to hear yours.
Tell me what your backup was. Yeah, you will.
Mine is Cobra.
Okay.
I have to do it. I have to do it. Cobra was the coolest collection of bad guys ever assembled. And the best part about Cobra is they boasted 1 billion members.
1 billion members. Look, if you have 1 billion members,
yeah, the war
you
is over.
Win.
The war is over.
You win.
And the best part of Cobra was like they were totally insidious and like super rich and super evil and could afford the most ridiculous like plans, like the Weather Dominator and the broadcast transmission, you know, whatever.
The mass device.
Sorry, the mass device and and they were so incapable of doing anything because they all hated each other so much.
It's like, you invented a device that can teleport armies into the strongholds of your enemies
and you can't win,
and your next plan is to buy a bunch of fast food franchises and strap them with bombs.
Yeah I mean, why not, you know? I love Cobra. I was going to say AIM as well, because I've always loved AIM.
I can't believe you did not pick Stormwatch.
I'm not picking. I didn't pick Stormwatch because Stormwatch started off really, really bad. Really, really bad. And then it got really good.
Don't act like you didn't love it.
Terrible. Oh, it was so bad for so long. And then I got good again.
Don't act like you didn't love it.
I did love it. I did love it, but not my favorite. I mean, if I got to pick my favorite like group of bad guys, clandestine bad guys, it's Cobra, man. Cobra Commander and the hood. I love hooded Cobra Commander. He looked so scary. And that voice, the guy that did Starscream.
Chris Latta was his name.
Man, and Destro and the Baroness was so hot. They were just bad, man. They were bad news.
The guy that voiced Cobra Commander and Starscream was named Chris Latta. And in real life, one of my very good friends who is a fan of this show is also named Chris Latta.
Well,
yeah, so it's kind of a fun little thing.
Not the same person.
No, the voice actor Chris Latta died of throat cancer. It was very bad.
Oh, that's right.
R.I.P.
Okay.
He is no longer with us.
Okay, I was going to say he was also crushed by one of those car crushers. It was really weird.
Like, it's so odd. So weird. What a coincidence.
How does that even happen?
Man.
Joe Patrick, what's your answer?
All right, so my answer, I struggled with this, not because I couldn't think of one, but because I had a hard time narrowing it down.
Yeah, there's a billion of them.
I'm stunned and also very kind of proud that nobody chose S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
I love S.H.I.E.L.D. But
I love
like,
S.H.I.E.L.D. too.
People went outside of the obvious, which I think is great. I loved all the Warren Ellis answers. Hate, of course.
Warren
wonderful.
Ellis cleaned house today.
Global Frequency, awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Planetary, one of my faves. And that would have been my favorite.
Easily.
But, man, D played right to young Joe Patrick with that Cadmus answer. I was all about the extended Superman universe and all the weird Jack Kirby crap they brought back in the 90s.
A ton of weird Jack Kirby.
Love Cadmus and everything connected to it. My favorite clandestine organization is also a DC organization, and that organization is Checkmate.
I love Checkmate.
Checkmate is a covert operations agency within the DC universe. It was kind of created from the ashes of a previous group just called the Agency, and it was originally set up by Amanda Waller as a small independent branch of Task Force X. The other part of which was, of course, the Suicide Squad.
Right.
And so Checkmate was basically this organization of secret agents and field agents that was based on the hierarchy of the chessboard.
Mm-hmm.
So you had kings and queens and knights and bishops and rooks, and that kind of outlined the hierarchy of command. And they had kick ass uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
The Checkmate outfits in the 80s.
They were so cool.
Gold faceless.
Yeah.
Masks, gold and black. So great. In modern times, Greg Rucka and Eric Troutman.
Yes.
Brought back Checkmate.
Must read. It was so good.
That series is wonderful.
It really was great.
And they sort of reworked the way the command structure worked. So that you had an equal mix of members that were superpowered, like Negative Woman, who
right.
was a character from the 80s.
Ice Patrol. Was there too, wasn't she?
Fire.
Oh, Fire.
Fire
was
one of the agents.
Fire.
So you had an equal mix of powered and non-powered, and they had something called the Rule of Two. So whenever there was a situation that required command decisions, they had to invoke the Rule of Two. So somebody that spoke for the human side of things had equal footing with somebody who had the power to just go in and wipe stuff off the map.
Right.
You know, so great.
It was wonderful.
I love that series. And Greg Rucka left the book after, I believe, 25 issues. And then the last kind of I believe it was last five or six issues kind of petered out. Bruce Jones wrote it.
Oh, OK.
Bruce Jones, you may recall, was the gentleman that sort of stepped in and had a mini Hulk revival in the early 2000s.
Return of the Monster.
Started super good and ended up super bad.
Yeah.
Just like Straczynski's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But his Checkmate run is not all that bad.
No, it was great.
But I love Checkmate. I think it's super cool from the visuals to the command structure to the characters involved. I love it.
Checkmate is awesome. That's a good answer. I didn't even think about Checkmate. It's a good one. Thank you so much to everyone that called in. Thank you, Amy, for getting called out and finally calling in again. Good to hear from you. We have got another question. It's coming up real quick here. Joe Patrick, what is the new question of the week?
Well, as you alluded to so subtly earlier in the episode, we have achieved Goocher status.
We've got a Goocher.
D. Murray has provided the question of the week. Three questions in a row.
We just call him the Gooch?
We can call him the Gooch.
Gooch.
This new question is, What is your favorite fictional vehicle? Not just from comics. It could be from TV or video games or movies or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fictional vehicle.
And yeah, and so
Knight Rider.
Like, no offense to anybody who might think this, but I don't want to hear about James Bond's Aston Martin.
Yeah.
I want to hear about, like, the f***ing Millennium Falcon or something, yeah. You know? Favorite fictional kick-ass vehicle.
What about Turbo Team? He could turn into a car.
I will allow it.
Okay.
But only if he got wet.
What do you mean? Got wet?
Yeah, if he got wet, he turned into
Turbo Team. Oh, yeah, that was his deal. That's right. He got wet, and he turned into
Turbo. Yeah, like a gremlin. Don't get him wet. Yeah.
So weird. God, the 80s were f***ed up.
Yeah.
Man.
And if he got too hot, he turned back into a normal kid.
What can you do?
I forget if that's how it is, but it's
driving through the sprinklers, I guess.
If you are hearing this, we know we're playing fast and loose, and we have been late, and things are delayed. So if you are hearing this...
But that's your fault, not ours.
The deadline for the favorite fictional vehicle question is Friday, September 30th. If you are hearing this after September 30th, you're out of luck, I'm afraid.
Sorry, suckers. Thanks again for everybody that called and played along, and our Alec Baldwin AI that controls the ziggurat, edits this show, and keeps Joe Patrick and I breathing, is going to tell you how to get a hold of us in just a minute here. We'll have another episode. I've got Saturday morning off, so it's going to happen. Another episode coming up this weekend, the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. It's a show you actually tune in for.
You always have Saturday off until you don't have Saturday off at the last second.
This is true. For now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to the answer of the week. I'd take this car talk joke further, but I doubt anyone in this audience listens to NPR when they could be listening to crap like this. Or worse yet, the Douglas and Dragons podcast. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.